What's that?
Well, I'm waiting for you to announce it. It's going to be a museum.
Something went wrong.
Pair doctors. See, he's a good doctor, he's a bad doctor.
So something went wrong here. Switch off. What did you do? I'm ready anyway. Okay, good morning, Rabbi Yisai. Our limit to Sefer Chofetz Chaim is the Schus Rufua of Yosef Dov Ben Chayla, Pesach Shal Chayla Yisrael. So we started speaking yesterday about humor. We started speaking yesterday about humor. And we said, the Chofetz Chaim said, that even though your intention was not to speak bad about somebody, your intention, excuse me, your intention was only to amuse. You wanted to be entertaining at the chasna. You wanted to be entertaining at the Sheva Brochas. And therefore, or the spiel at the end of the year or on Purim, and you want to entertain. And therefore, all you're doing is mentioning amusing things that happened, which we found funny at the time, and maybe the audience will find funny now. And there's no malice here. Don't intend to say anything really bad about anybody. Just telling the stories. Afal Pekin, says the Chofetz Chaim, that's called Lashon Hara. And a couple of examples. Yeah, a couple of examples. One example was when a best man got up and he spoke at a chasna. Wasn't so, like, you know, don't have best men at the Heimish chasnas. Wasn't such a Heimish chasna. But the point about the best man is that he's usually the best friend of the chosn. And he got up to all sorts of things during his lifetime with the chosn. And now he's telling them over to the Olam in order that they should be amused. So he mentions the time, for instance, when the chosn let off a stink bomb in the class. And they had a teacher called Mr. Rosenbaum. And Mr. Rosenbaum said, "Who did it? And who did it?" And he's shouting at them, etc., etc. And he was completely powerless. There was nothing he could do because nobody was prepared to snitch. Yeah, and therefore, so the chosn got away with it. But more than that, he said, after that, every time that we spoke to the teacher, we said, "Mr. Rosenbaum." Yeah, and he didn't know. He didn't realize. He had no idea what we were saying. And every time we said Rosenbaum, we all burst out laughing. And we had a great time. Says the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim says, "I'm not so sure that the chosn is so happy that the kala knows about all this information and the things that he got up to when he was younger." And therefore, I had another case that I heard about where somebody thought it was a funny remark and it actually misfired. What happened? The chosn's now a frum person. He went to yeshiva and he's going to learn in the kollel and he's marrying a girl called Shindy. But when he was in school, in grammar school, he went to Bnei Akiva. Yeah, and he had a girlfriend. Yeah, and at the chasna, yeah, the best man, or Sherebos, I can't remember. Yeah, the chasna, he just mentions, you know, he says, "And by the way," he says to the chosn, "regards from Sandra, she wishes you well." Yeah, and the first thing that happens after the chasna, right, they come back, and the kala says to the chosn, "Who is Sandra?" Yeah, okay. It was a harmless relationship at the time. They were just friends, and they went to a Bnei Akiva group together, etc. But there are things, says the Chofetz Chaim, your intention is to be funny. Your intention is to be amusing. But at the end of the day, it's at the expense of the chosn. It's at the expense of the person that you're telling the joke about. And very often, it can misfire. Says the Chofetz Chaim, there's no heter whatsoever, whether it's Purim, whether it's Graman, whether it's a chasna, whether it's best man, sheva brochas, whatever it is. If you're going to mention something that embarrasses the other party, then the joke is not a joke, it's lashon hara.
Start of Runaway, North West London, Tuesday, Tess Ador Shaney, 19th of March, Dr. Yossi Adler Schlita, Suicide in Venice and the Trolley Dilemma. This week's Terrell Alfonso, Lynn Nishmas Morris, Esther Brock, Professor of Ireland, Shalom Rock, Grossmas, is Yatzek on Friday. The third Hashwurm, the Askarolim, Bamil Kamosh, Shiach Sulevotahim, the Shalom Bim Heiro.
Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Shus Kala Kodish Hazeh. I'd like to first of all thank the organizers, Dudi and Josh, for inviting me to share some thoughts once again in this illustrious setting. The title is not a Purim joke, number one, and number two, it's not a bad Agatha Christie novel title. It's actually a Shaila, which is Omid Bruma Shalolam. I came across this Indian during the New Year's bank holiday. We went with a few of our granddaughters to Venice for a couple of days. And we had a tour around the ghetto. And the guide pointed out that on the wall of what used to be the old age home in the ghetto, there's a plaque which commemorates somebody called Giuseppe Jonah, who was a doctor. He was a Rosh Hakol of Venice during the war. And by that time, very few people were living in the ghetto. There were about 200 people in the ghetto, mainly in the old age home. They were all deported and killed in Auschwitz. But the majority of the Jewish community, about 1,200 people, were scattered all around the city of Venice, and nobody really knew where they were. The only person who knew where they were was this Rosh Hakol. He had all the records, and he knew many of them, and he knew where they were in his head. And he got summoned by the Gestapo to come to the Gestapo headquarters the next day and to bring the list of where all the Jews were located. So the first thing he did was he destroyed the list. But he was concerned that under torture he would give away where these people were living and he might reveal where these people were living. And therefore, on the night before he was supposed to appear in front of the Gestapo, he took a cyanide capsule. It was a doctor, he had easy access, and he committed suicide. And they told the story, and there's a plaque there which commemorates it. They say there that because he committed suicide, he was buried outside the Beis HaKvaros. About 20 years ago, they reinterred him in the Beis HaKvaros, and they had a ceremony to commemorate that, and they put this plaque up, because he's credited with having saved about 1,200 people as a result of that. The majority of Jews in Venice were never found, and they were never deported because of that. I find it very difficult to believe that they would have buried him outside the Beis HaKvaros, but I imagine he was buried outside the Beis HaKvaros because it was 1943 and they couldn't do public kvaros in the Beis HaKvaros. But anyway, that's what she said. So one of my granddaughters said, was that a correct thing to do halakhically? Was he right, faced in this situation, was he correct to commit suicide? Was that what he was supposed to do? And, you know, I had to tell her that. I really got no idea, actually, whether that was a correct thing to do or not. Instinctively, suicide, we think, is a terrible thing. In this situation, in other words, is it correct to commit suicide in order to save other people's lives? So when I came back, I actually reached out to Rabbi Tatz, and he sent this Shaila to Zilberstein, and I'll come back to the conclusions later on. But he also pointed out to me there was also a similar story of somebody called Adam Chernikov, who was the head of the Judenrat in Warsaw. And in fact, he was a little bit of a difficult character. People originally accused him of cooperating more with the Nazis than perhaps he should have. But in July 1942, he was ordered to give up the children in the orphanage there to be deported. And he wrote a note to his wife, says, they're demanding I kill the children, my people, with my own hands. There's nothing for me to do but to die. And he also committed suicide. So it's a similar sort of question, whether that's the correct thing to do. Not sure it's exactly the same question, because those children were obviously going to be killed in any case. So whereas Joshua Jonah actually is credited with having saved 1,200 people. Unfortunately, in his case, all of those children were killed in any case. So I was trying to think of what Myron McComb's are there, what sources are there which might help us to tackle this very, very difficult question. So there are a few principles we have to know. One is, we know you can't risk one life to save another. That's a general principle. We know that, for example, the Mishnah Noelah says that if a woman was having trouble in childbirth, so if it's before the child's brought out its head and therefore the child has not come to the fetus and not yet considered to be a living entity, then you can cut the fetus out in order to save the mother's life. But once the head or the majority of the body is born, then you can't sacrifice the fetus for the sake of the mother, because ein dochen nefesh v'nefesh, you can't kill one in order to save another. So that's a general principle, that you can't sacrifice one life to save another life. And there's a Chuvas HaRadvaz, very famous Chuvas HaRadvaz, which is the basis of halacha for this. If you're walking along the seafront and you see somebody drowning, are you mechuyev? Is it a good thing to do to risk your life? You know, generally, it's in the samad zamrecha, you have to save a life whenever you can. So should you, but if there's a certain amount of risk to yourself, should you risk your own life to save somebody else's life? We've spoken about this before in connection with kidney transplants, etc. And we know that the Maskon and the Poskim seem to take on, like the Radvaz, seems a bit of a steer in the Radvaz, and the Maskana is that it depends on the degree of risk. So if there's a small risk, then the Radvaz calls that Midas Chasidus. If the risk is very small, it's a Midas Chasidus to take that small risk to save somebody else. But if there's a significant risk, a high risk, then it's called Chosid Shoita. To risk your life to save somebody else is called Chosid Shoita. And certainly in order to kill oneself to save someone else goes much further than that. And Pashtus, that would be forbidden. So it would seem to be that the baseline situation would be that you can't kill yourself or kill one person in order to save another person. So the major question becomes, does it make a difference whether you're saving one person or whether you're saving many people? Here he wasn't trying to just save one person, he was trying to save 1,200 people. Is there a difference? Do the numbers make a difference? And that is obviously, at first sight one would say, obviously one should try and do everything you can to save lives, so the more lives you can save, the better. On the other hand, we have a principle. My father-in-law often coined this idea that every life is of infinite value, and every moment of life is infinite value. And if you've got infinity, you can't divide it up. Therefore, one life is actually the same as many lives, because each life is infinite. And therefore, you can't abandon one life, even if it's to save many lives. That's the questions of we'll stop on that question. And that question I found discussed in a very interesting context, and it is discussed in the Poskim. And that is, the question which is put out is, the Chazon Ish talks about this, he talks an arrow, but it's something called the trolley dilemma. It's a well-known philosophical discussion in the non-Jewish philosophy books. It's very much discussed, this called the trolley dilemma. That's in the old days in New York when you had these trolley cars coming down the tracks, and they didn't have very good brakes. And the trolley is hurtling down the track. There's five people standing in front of it with their backs to the trolley. They don't realize it's coming. You can see for sure it's going to run them over, and those five people are going to be killed. But you're standing by the points, and you can move the points and divert that trolley to go down another track where there's one person standing. Do you divert the trolley to kill the one person in order to save the five people? And the Chazon Ish discusses that. And in case you think that's a bit of a theoretical question, I saw written, don't know where it occurs, that the Chazon Ish actually wrote this in response to a taxi driver who came to him, said he was driving down the road, he saw people standing in front of him, he couldn't stop, so he mounted onto the pavement and he killed one person instead of killing the group of people who were in front of him. And he asked the Chazon Ish, was that the correct thing to do? And it's actually also very practical, because driverless cars are going to be the next thing that's coming in. Driverless cars will, it's assumed, save thousands of lives because they're much more reliable than people. Computers don't fall asleep at the wheel. So it's thought that, in fact, driverless cars will be much safer than driven cars. And the people who are doing that have to develop the computer protocols. So they have to decide when they program the computer and drive this car, if that car is faced with a group of people in front of it, should it swerve onto the pavement, which might involve killing one person in order to save many. So this is actually a very practical shaila. And the Chazon Ish discusses it. He actually leaves it as a tzorachin, and he doesn't answer the question. But he brings a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi in Trumas says that if people were going on the way and the Goyim attacked them, and the Goyim said, give up one person in order to say, if you don't give up one person for us to kill, then we're going to kill the whole group. Do you give up one person in order to kill the whole group? In the Auschwitz, the concentration camps, these questions came up as well. Do you give up one person in order for the whole group to be saved? So the halacha is that you can't give up one person. Lo yimsur nefesh achs miyisrael. You can't give up one person in order to save the others. But if they said give up a particular person, we've singled out, we want this specific person, and if you give up this specific person, then we'll save you, then it's a machlokas. And that's based actually on the case of Sheva ben Bichri, where Sheva ben Bichri in Melochim, Yoav was coming, he'd been murdered by Malchus, and Yoav was coming to kill him, wanted to come and kill him, and he was being protected in the city, he was not in the city, and he therefore threatened the whole city. There was an Isha Chachoma who came up to him and said, you're going to kill a whole city because of one person? He said, no, I don't want to kill a whole city, just give him to me, and then the rest of the city would be saved. And she went and she spoke to the heads of the city, and it describes there in Nach that she went. They went and they found this person, Shavim Bichri, and they cut off his head and they presented Yoav with his head, and the whole city was saved. And the Poskim seemed to take on that what they did was the correct thing to do in order to save him. So it's a machlokas in the Gemara. Was the reason this was the correct thing to do just because he'd been singled out? That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Rish Lakish says, no, it was only because he was already chayv misa in any case, because he was murdered by Malchus. So if the person's chayv misa, then you can give them up. If the person's not chayv misa, even if he's been singled out, you can't give him up. So that's my question. Rambam paskens like Rish Lakish. So therefore, it would be... But he's certainly not chayv misa, and therefore, according to Rambam, this case, right, in the case of our trolley car, the person who's standing on the track is certainly not chayv misa. So according to the Rambam, you definitely would not be allowed to divert it in order to kill him, because he's not chayv misa. According to Rish Lakish, it would be a question, do you consider this person as being singled out? It's not just a random person, it's a person who happens to be standing there, but he's the one who's standing there. It's not like you're just picking him out from 1,000 people. On the other hand, he's nothing specific about him. He just happens to be there. So you can clear whether you would be considered that as singled out or not. So I think according to the other Rishonim who are Mechulit with the Rambam, you can clear about it. But the Ramah brings both shitters. He brings Rehman as a Rishokish. So it could be, if you consider him singled out, that it could be justified to do it. But if you don't consider him singled out, or according to Rambam, for sure you would not be allowed to do it in order to save him. And so the Chazon Ish says, but in our case you can make a distinction between it, and that is that the case when you divert the trolley car to the other track, you're not really killing him. Here they were giving him up to be killed, or they actually killed him. So from that point of view, that's a Maisa Hariga. Here the Rambam, the Chazon Ish says, it could be that you consider this a Maisa Hatzola. You're diverting the trolley car is to save five people. It so happens as a result of that, unfortunately, one person gets killed. But that might be different from this case where you're giving somebody up directly. On the other hand, what you're doing is more direct than giving a person up to the Goyim. Right there, in case you're looking, it's not clear that who actually picks up his head. But here, you're actually doing a direct action which ends up in the death of this person. Whereas in the case of Ruchi, you're just giving somebody up to the goyim, or the halacha, which is paskin, certainly is talking about giving somebody up to the goyim, and that could be difficult. And therefore, the Chazon Ish says, either way, it's a sophic, and he can't really resolve it. The Chazanish also mentions a case in Gemara in Tanis. Gemara in Tanis talks about Tyrannus, was a non-Jewish king, who wanted to kill two people, Lolinus and Pappus, in Ludka. Or he came to kill Lolinus and Pappus. It's not clear exactly from the Gemara what's going on, but Rashi explains that the daughter of the king was found dead, and he accused the Jews. So he came there and he accused all Jews, and he said he was going to kill the whole Jewish population there because they'd killed his daughter. So Lonias and Papias went and gave themselves up and said it was us who did it, even though obviously it wasn't. But they said they gave themselves up and said it was us who did it, so that they should get killed and everybody else should be saved. So Chazanish brings that case and says maybe you can bring a proof from there. You see that it's a correct thing to do in order to save all those people, to kill, for people to give themselves up in order to kill them, and maybe that could be a thing. And Rashi brings a Gemara in Bava Basra. He says that these are the Harugei Lud, were these Lunias and Papas. It says Ein Koberia Lo Yochal Lam B'Mechitzosin B'Gan Eden. The Gemara says that on such a high madrega they give themselves up in order to save the whole community. So therefore, they're considered definitely to be a very praiseworthy thing to do. So the that would seem to be the brings it as a possible case. He says, but that's different. And the Titzelies in the end in Simon Chafei, right at the end of Chelik Tesvov, discusses this Chazanish at length, and he says that from the Chazanish you can't the Chazanish leaves it as open. And he says you can't prove it from that case because there's a difference between giving yourself up to the goyim and actually changing something over and causing a person to die directly. There's also a difference between whether somebody's doing it themselves, whether you're doing it for them. Here, these people gave themselves up, whereas if you move the trolley car, you're the one who's ending up killing them. Therefore, the Chazanish says you can't bring a raya from there. So, but the Tzitz Eliezer says that the Maskoni is very clear that the halacha is that in the case of the trolley car, you can't move it because Sheval Tase Odif. There's a principle. We say normally, if a guy comes and says, kill this person, otherwise I'm going to kill you, we all know that's not Yehore Valyava. You're not allowed to kill somebody else in order to save your own life. Why? Because the Gemara says, my chazad dom adoksum utfei, dom adom rechavra. Someone say, how do you know your blood is redder than the other person? Maybe the other person's blood is redder, and therefore you can't kill him in order to save yourself. On the other hand, God says, if that's only if you're doing something active. If they say, we're going to throw you on top of this child and kill the child, then you should let yourself be thrown on rather than let yourself be killed, because who says, on the other hand, who Rabbeinu Yonah says, who says that your blood is any less red than his blood? So therefore, the my chazad dom midoch is only that you can't do something active. But in all these situations, the conclusion is that shev al tase odif, that you can't do anything, you shouldn't take any action, and therefore he paskens it in the case of the trolley car, you can't divert it from one to the other. In other words, you don't look at the fact that you might be able to save more lives as a din of Sheval Tase Odif. So you don't necessarily consider more lives as automatically being more valuable than one life. If that's the case, then in our case, it would seem to be that also a person giving up his own life in order to save a group would not be the right thing to do. But of course, our case is different. Our case is actually much more similar to the case of Lunias and Pappus than the case of the trolley car, which the Chazanish is discussing, because there they actually did give themselves up to be killed in order to save the rest of the community, and that's considered as a praiseworthy thing to do. But there are questions about that, because it's different giving themselves up to be killed by the goyim than actually taking a cyanide tablet. They didn't actually commit suicide, number one. Number two, according to Lothoskin, they reckoned that they would have been killed anyway. They were part of the group, so they were going to be killed anyway. All they did was bring forward their own deaths in order to save everybody else. And even though Chayashah is very, very choshev, but nevertheless, there's a difference between somebody committing suicide completely or somebody just precipitating, making it a bit earlier. You could sign that in our case, he also reckoned that he was going to be killed shortly. He was going to have to, they knew where he was going to be deported to Auschwitz. His chances of survival were definitely not good, but it wasn't definite that he was going to die. So therefore, it could be that his taking these cyanide tablets is very similar to what Linnaeus' prophets did, but it's not not exactly the same. What comes out from here is that, and the other thing which Cecilia mentions is that Mesiris Nefesh is different than killing somebody else. And in this case, it was a case for Mesiris Nefesh. He was Moser Nefesh in order to save the other people. Therefore, although by the trolley dilemma, the conclusion is very clear that Sheval Tase Odif, in our case, it could be very, very likely that the extrapolating into our question to it, that even though we say we've got this principle, Ein Zochen Nefesh Mei Nefesh, it could be that our case is different because, number one, they were being these two people. Certainly this Giuseppe Jonah was being Moser Nefesh. He wasn't killing other people. Number two, he's likely to be killed anyway. So the major question is there ever any justification for suicide as such? We've seen you can't kill one person and save others, but is suicide something different? So, suicide, there's a famous Menachos Chinuch in connection with suicide, which is that he says that normally if you kill somebody, you're over on Lo Sitzach. There's a machlokes whether somebody commits suicide is over on the very chomadikatin of Lo Sitzach, and Menachos Chinuch says no, because a person does have a certain bias over his body, and all you're over is on the Issa of Achas Timchel Nashusekam Edward, which is one of the Shavim's Pibin Noach and Pashas Noach, but you're not over on Lo Sitzach. So according to that, suicide is much less chomor than murder, and there are situations where perhaps suicide might be justified. And the famous example of that is the case of Shaul HaMelech, where he was threatened by the Goyim. He realized he was going to be killed by them, and he fell on his sword, or either he fell on his sword and he killed himself, or he made his armor bearer kill him. He basically committed suicide in order to save himself being tortured by the Pelishtim. And most opinions hold that that was a correct thing to do. The Ramban says they Klal Yisrael maspid him. The Ramban said that Klal Yisrael were criticized for not being maspid Shaul Karoy. It wasn't considered to be a normal kind of suicide. Why? So it's very interesting. Das Kenan Balitos was there in Parshas Noach on Ach es Dimchel Nashoseichem. It says Ach es Dimchel Nashoseichem. The Ach is a mute, that there are certain cases where you can commit suicide. What's the case? Yochal Afilu Kamo Elish Moshe Atzim Kiddush Hashem Shel Yochal. So people are Moshe Nefesh for Kiddush Hashem. Maybe they shouldn't do that. So the Ach tells you can. Gibeshas Hashmad, which this certainly was. Yochal Limtza Asma Lemitza Ol Haragatzma. A person give himself up, and that was what Shaul HaMelech did, because he was afraid that it was Shas HaShmad, and therefore he was afraid, and therefore what Shaul HaMelech did was justified. And that's the first shit in Tosfos there. There's a second shit that says actually Shaul HaMelech did Shelo Karoy, but the general consensus seems to be that what Shaul did was considered to be a justified action. And it's interesting that there's that Loshen, that person is, if he's afraid of being tortured, that's a reason in order to allow him to commit suicide if he's worried that other things are coming about it. Certainly, the Ritva passing inside the first day in the Baas Konim, the Beis Yosef brings both shittas are in the Roshonim, but there's certainly a big case to be able to say that in such a situation it might be justified. The Gemara in Avodah Zorah, however, brings the story of Rabbi Chananya ben Taradion, who was being killed. And they said, they open your mouth, because then the fire will go in and you'll be killed earlier, and that will save you from Yisurin. And he refused to open his mouth, because he said he can't take active steps to shorten his life, even if it's only for a few minutes, and even when it's to save himself from tremendous Yisurin. And that seems to be a halacha, even though he... So that Tosfos in Avodah Zorah seems to say that you can't kill yourself in order to minimize the torture. But the question is whether it's different. And the Yamshu Shlomo says the reason why Shaul HaMelech did what he did was because he was afraid that if the Plishtim, I think, was killed him, then everybody else would be outraged that the king was killed, the rest of Klal Yisrael would be outraged that their king was killed by the Plishtim. They'd come and attack the Plishtim in revenge, and as a result of that, many people would be killed. So he preferred to commit suicide in order to save lives. So the makur, according to the Yamshu Shlomo, that makur for committing suicide in order to save lives, even though normally we see from a kind of medical you can't commit suicide, however bad the torture is, that is that's according to one of the Pshatim, the Yam Shishtoma, that was the Heter. And that is exactly the Heter here. In other words, committing suicide, the Yam Shishtoma did, committing suicide to save lives. There's another Pshat in the Yam Shishtoma that it was because of the whole Indian of Kovod Malchus. He killed himself, so there shouldn't be a Begam in the Kovod Malchus, which obviously is not relevant here. There's also Radak who says that he reckons he was going to be killed anyway, and committing suicide, prevent torture when you're going to be killed anyway, is different than committing suicide in other situations. And that Lechora would also be, could be applicable here, because you could well say that they were also going to, Giuseppe Giono also reckoned he was going to be killed anyway, although it was less direct and less quick, so then you could kill him. One more Makar which we should mention is a Gemara in Gittin, which seems to also back up this idea of being Mosa Nefesh, to prevent torture, prevent being over our virus. And that's the famous Gemara in Gittin of the 400 children, boys and girls, who were captured, and they were taken on a boat, and they knew they were going to be taken into captivity and were going to be abused, and they would be forced to do our virus, and they could very well be killed. And they rather committed suicide. The girls jumped into the water, and the boys went to Kabul home, and they followed suit. So there, it's a clear case of martyrdom as such, where a person kills themselves, there it's to prevent being forced into doing Averis. And obviously, so you could extrapolate from that saving lives, that if you consider this to be indirectly causing the death of these 1,200 people by giving their details, so you could extrapolate that and say that this is also another sniff to be able to say that what they did was the right thing. That leads us on to this whole question of martyrdom, the whole discussion about Masada, were they correct to commit suicide rather than let themselves be killed by the Romans, and the Crusaders came up very much, and the martyrs of York, the whole question comes up. So that's a whole another discussion which needs a discussion for itself, but it perhaps impinges a little on here. So when Rabbi Tatz sent this question to Rabbi Zilberstein, he answered to him, for sure it was a Maisa Chassidus, and for sure it's something which should be praised, and it was a good thing that he did. And he said, if you send me the full Shaila, I'll send you all the Maramakomas, which I've got to prove this. Later on, Rabbi Tatz was at the Chemed conference in America, and he asked Rabbi Osher Weiss and somebody else, he told me, I can't remember, experts in these inyonim, and they both said the same thing, that this is considered to be a praiseworthy action. So I haven't got the Maram Kermis yet from Zilberstein, so when they come, maybe we'll need another shiur to go through those. But I hope that we've managed to cover most of them. And the Maskana from this would seem to be that based on these, although initially based perhaps on Rav Almbo's Tshuva and the Sofer Chazon issue, it would be very, that you can't risk lives in order to save many lives, but it seems from here that suicide in order to save lives is different, that there are definitely many Maramakomas to support committing suicide to save lives, maybe a different Indian. And in case it sounds a little bit counterintuitive, because suicide is such a dreadful thing to consider, just one other question. What about Rory Klein, who in the Lebanon War, famous case, where the grenade was thrown into he was head of a group of soldiers, and a live grenade was thrown into them, and he jumped on top of the grenade in order to kill himself, in order to save the lives of, and as a result of that, he saved the lives of his whole company of soldiers. And that, I think everybody looks at and says that's an amazing, praiseworthy thing to do. We don't even really look at that as a question. If my granddaughter asked me, was that the right thing to do, I would have intuitively said yes. Whereas when they ask about this, these cases during the war, intuitively I wasn't quite sure, and I was trying to think what's really the difference between them. So from what we said now, it would seem clear that it was the right thing to do. It may be that war is different, and Wallenberg actually mentions in his Tshuva that war is different because there's different kind of achrayas and more different things happen in war. A person's much more likely necessary to be Mosa Nefesh. A soldier in battle has to be Mosa Nefesh much more. Whether that applies, you could consider this Shepi Jonah in a way as a soldier trying to save the lives of, it was also during wartime, but it's not directly in battle. So a soldier in battle has got different responsibilities. It's not clear from that story whether he definitely would have died as part of the company, if that Grey would have gone off, would he have definitely died anyway, and he jumped on them, which was really his praise because of his quick thinking and jumping on top of it, but actually wasn't necessarily Mr. Snefish because he probably would have died in any case because of it. Whatever it is, just to leave a thought, we shouldn't be faced with these terrible, terrible questions. And it's a chance perhaps to acknowledge the tremendous mesiras nefesh of the soldiers who go out every day to try and protect Klal Yisrael, and risking their lives day and night now in Gaza, but throughout history, the tremendous mesiras nefesh which they give to everybody, which everybody hails and acknowledges as Maisa Chassidus, Mr. Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shmei Merachem, that it shouldn't be necessary anymore, there shouldn't be any more need for mesiras nefesh, there shouldn't be mesiras tovus and simchas, Lahud Vayisur of Simcha, Mr. Hashem, we should only have simchas together and not have any of these terrible. Yeah.